What is so different about Christianity when compared with the religions of the world? Well, just this. Christ came from heaven and entered the world in the flesh as a little baby. His birth was not the usual birth, for it was a virgin birth, the only one on record in the history of the world. One of the most profound mysteries of the New Testament is the Incarnation. The eternal Christ came from heaven and clothed himself with a body of flesh. Probably more heresies have arisen from this doctrine than any other truth in the Bible. In John, the first chapter, verse 14, we read, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The eternal, personal, supernatural Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. A more literal translation would be, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word, Christ Jesus, was not a created being. He had always existed. In his incarnation, he continued as God, but added a body of flesh to his spirit. We should not overlook the fact that as Christ became flesh, he did so through a miracle. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This miraculous birth was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, hundreds of years before he was born. The prophet says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, Emmanuel means God with us. We have the counterpart of this prophecy in the words of the angel to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It has been said by some that it isn't necessary to believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. When one says he does not believe in the virgin birth, what he actually means is that he does not believe in the Bible, the miraculous power of God, nor the purity and holiness of Christ. If Christ did not have a miraculous entry into this world as told by God in the Scriptures, then we must rule out all the rest. Now, flesh, as used here, does not mean sinful nature, as we find it in the epistles, but rather human nature. Christ became a human, like all humans in every respect but one. He hungered, thirsted, ate, drank, became weary, slept, had compassion, became angry, but with all of this, he was without sin. He looked like other humans. God sent Christ in the likeness of sinful flesh, we read in Romans 8, verse 3. Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt comes from a word meaning tabernacle. The Old Testament tabernacle was the place where man met God. Christ is the New Testament tabernacle where man may meet God. He tabernacled among us that we might meet God through him. Oh, how marvelous is the grace of God. Now, John says, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." This does not mean that his glory was but a duplication of the Father's glory. It was the same glory, full of grace and truth. All we know about grace and truth is what we know about Jesus Christ. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Here is grace in its fullest measure. The perfect Son of God taking your sin and mine and going to the cross, the innocent suffering for the guilty. Christ is also truth. In John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Everything he said was truth. Everything he did was in the light of the truth, for he is truth. Now in verse 15 we read, "John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. No wonder John bare witness of him. All believers should be doing the same thing. On Christmas night, several years ago, we drove up one street and down another, admiring the lighted decorations, which always suggest to me the one who is the true light. In one of the fashionable neighborhoods where most of the decorations highlighted Santa Claus, we were pleased and surprised to see a lovely home with a sign attractively painted and beautifully lighted. The words were, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." By the curb, there was a lighted track rack so constructed that one could drive near it and reach out for a gospel tract. How thrilled we were to see this witness to Christ. We are told that John cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now the word "before" appears twice, but the meanings are different. The first usage refers to position and dignity. John is saying, "I am nothing. Christ is everything." The second usage refers to time or existence. He was before me. The interesting thing is that the Lord Jesus was born approximately 6 months after John. How then could he be before John? Well, John knew that Christ was eternal. Thus, he was before me. Christ had always existed. Verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace." Is there anything Christ lacks? He has everything, all power, deity, perfect humanity. All that Christ is and has, we receive in him. Paul said in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Verse 17, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Notice two things here. The law was given, but grace came. Was given means that Moses, God's messenger, received the law from God and conveyed it to the children of Israel. On the other hand, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ was not a messenger or a servant conveying the message. He was grace and truth himself. He came bearing grace and truth to all who would believe on him. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. But did not Abraham, Moses, Jacob, and Isaac see the Lord?" No, they saw manifestations of the Lord. God is a spirit. His only visible manifestation is Jesus Christ. God declared in Exodus 33, verse 20, "There shall no man see me and live." The Old Testament appearances were probably the pre-incarnate Christ. Now, John says the Lord Jesus is the bosom of the Father. This is figurative, suggesting the intimacy of the Son and the Father. Further, it means that they shared all their secrets, the secrets of eternity, providence, creation, judgment, and everything having to do with the eternal counsels of God. God has been declared through Jesus Christ. Christ declared God the Father. The word "declared" means expounded or exegeted. Every Greek scholar knows that exegesis is a literal interpretation of a text from the original language in which it was written. Christ came to interpret all truth regarding the eternal God. All that any of us know about God is realized through Jesus Christ. Do you know him? I hope you've received him into your life. If you haven't, bow your head and ask the living Christ to become your Savior and Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have revealed yourself through your Son. Help us to be worthy of the grace you have given through Jesus, who is grace. May we experience this grace moment by moment as we trust him by faith. For I pray these things and ask In his holy name, have your way in our lives, I ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.